I'm confused. Did the chatters not read the article? The New York Times was gearing to drop this bombshell, this explosive ordinance, the mother of all bombs, on Graham Plattner. Several women who dated Graham Plattner recall unsettling behavior. The Democratic candidate for Senate in Maine could be charming, women said in interviews, but some found his actions intimidating and disturbing. Holy f***, it's a 20-minute long article. Jesus Christ. The short and sweet of it is he dated a bunch of women. This is a string of women that he dated from, I believe, 2012 to 2016. And one of them is a Republican operative. Okay. Like a far right Republican operative. That one is the one that actually revealed a lot of damning information. And it's mostly just like his former girlfriends talking about the complicated nature of the relationship, not just the GOP op, he's Heritage Foundation. Yes. In extensive conversations over the past two months, three other women who had been romantically involved with Mr. Plattner offered a far more complicated assessment, describing volatile and toxic relationships that were unsettling at times and emotionally wrenching. Mr. Plattner, 41, a combat veteran, has spoken openly about grappling with post-traumatic stress disorder, depression and drinking that he said resulted from his time in the military. His revelations about him have surfaced, including his dismissive remarks online about rape and derogatory comments about women, as well as a tattoo that is widely recognized as a Nazi symbol. Jesus Christ. He has said his past behavior does not reflect who he is today. Mainers, he has urged, should not judge him for the worst thing I said on the internet on my worst day 14 years ago. Critical accounts provided by three of the women interviewed by the Times, who were each in romantic relationships with him for years, give a fuller picture of Mr. Plattner's life. They shed light on an earlier era when he has acknowledged intense struggles, but also raises questions about his more recent years in Maine, which his campaign has presented as a period of healing and personal redemption. The disclosures last week, Mr. Plattner, now married, was exchanging sexual messages with women as recently as last year, have complicated that narrative and unnerved Democrats who see the Maine seat as a key to their efforts to regain control over the Senate. Lindsay Fifield, 40, a Virginia conservative who has worked for right-leaning groups and Republican campaigns, recalled him as a cavalierly contemptuous of women's emotions, of our weakness. Miss Fifield, who dated Mr. Plattner from roughly 2013 to 2015, said that his offensive online post reminded me of just how much he hated women. Oh my God. Oh, again, a woman who worked for the Heritage Foundation, just so you understand, at least they mentioned that she's a Republican operative in the article, instead of being like, this is a random person. Racicott, 41, a Maine Democrat who said she dated him casually on and off between 2019 and 2021, said the post deepened her belief that he did not respect women. When I saw the old comments that he made online, she said, I recognized the version of him that I had experiences with. Some of the women also raised questions about his trustworthiness. Mr. Plattner's insistence that he did not know that his tattoo was a Nazi symbol until it became a campaign issue last fall was simply not true, Mrs. Fifield said. After all, she said, he had taught her the word for it years earlier, referring to it as my Totenkopf. Again, this is the Republican operative. So all the juice that comes from this article that corroborates, creates the idea that he knew what the Totenkopf was always, that basically leans into his him being an immoral actor that knows what he is doing, all come from the same person. The rest of the stories presented are, you know, that he was a dude struggling with PTSD, among numerous other things. There's no corroboration for any of the things that Miss Fifield said. And the reality of the matter is, if there's like full knowledge of the Totenkopf, which there could be, again, I don't know. I have no dog in this fight about the Totenkopf. I've said that was a massive red flag for me, too. I mean, he has a Nazi tattoo. Ginny Rakikoff, 41, Maine, recognized the version. Okay, some women also raised questions about his trustworthiness. His campaign story denied that he knew what the tattoo stood for. And in a statement to the Times, his plan said he had too often self-medicated with alcohol and was a far from perfect boyfriend during what he described as a very dark period of my life. I take responsibility for all that, and I wish I had been better, he said. Any characterization beyond that is false, and I believe politically motivated. I'm not proud of who I was then, but I am proud of the work I've done since and the movement we are building in Maine. This article is based on the interviews with more than 24 people, including 6 women who had been romantically involved with Mr. Plattner. The Times spoke with friends or acquaintances of several women, reviewed contemporaneous texts and social media messages, and saw some of Miss Fifield's diary entries. Mr. Plattner declined to be interviewed for this article. The women who described difficult relationships with Mr. Plattner knew him at different points in his life. Miss Fifield said she dated him starting when they were both in their late 20s in Washington, during a time where Mr. Plattner has described as challenging. Miss Racicot knew him in Maine when they were in their mid-30s, and he was living in Sullivan, Maine, and working on his oyster farm. The third woman, a Democrat from Maine, who spoke on the condition of anonymity, had a long-distance relationship with Mr. Plattner on and off for years, recently as 2016. The three described him as similar terms. Spending time with him could be exhilarating, they said. But they also recounted patterns of heavy drinking and womanizing. Asked to sum up how he treated her, the third woman said she felt like collateral damage to the world that is his. When Ms. Feefield first met Mr. Plattner in 2013, he was a student at George Washington University, and she was working on veterans issues at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and beginning to make a name for herself as a conservative activist online. Their roughly two-year on-again, off-again relationship, as Ms. Feefield texted her in 2016, according to a message reviewed by the Times, "You are literally, Lindsay, I love you in a way that I can't even describe. You are literally everything to me." She says she recognized that Mr. Plattner was struggling with the aftermath of his military service and thought she could help him. Ms. Feefield, who was navigating family challenges at the time, recalls that period as emotionally rocky for her, too. Mr. Plattner could be rough with her, Ms. Feefield said, particularly when they were drinking, leaving her shaken and sometimes afraid. In the interviews, Ms. Feefield grappled with how to process her experiences. She was quick to note that he never hit me, he never punched me. But she said he regularly grabbed her by the shoulder, sometimes hard enough to leave marks, and on one occasion yanked her out of a cab by her wrist after an argument when she wanted to stay in the car. During one argument, she recalled, he twisted her arm behind her back, shoved her into a bedroom, and held the door closed from the other side so she couldn't get out, telling her to remain there until she was calm. Eventually, Ms. Feefield said she fell asleep and left the next morning. It hurt, she said, but she added, it didn't cause an injury. It didn't break my arm. Mr. Plattner strongly disputes any claims of physical intimidation or altercations, his campaign said. The Times could not independently corroborate Ms. Feefield's account of the altercations. Ms. Feefield also recalled that Mr. Plattner's displays of weaponry and discussions of violence sometimes left her uneasy. She said he kept an AR-15 lying around his apartment on Capitol Hill and was sharpening an axe, a relic from his time working on the Appalachian Trail before he enlisted in the Marines while watching television. He had what she described as a warrior ethos and would fantasize about killing people he deemed a threat, she said. She said he told her that rape was about power. It was something that stuck with her through the years, Ms. Feefield said. He said this a lot. If anybody broke in here, I would rape them, she recalled, saying that he added that it would not be in a sexual way, not in a gay way. He was like, I would rape them to show them that I'm dominant, she said. Asked about those remarks, a Plattner campaign official did not dispute them. A friend who knew Plattner and Ms. Feefield during that period said the comments sounded out of character. Mr. Plattner, who had overlapping relations with other women while he and Ms. Feefield dated, also referred to women as hatchet wounds, Ms. Feefield said, a crude term for the female anatomy. The Times reviewed the text between Ms. Feefield and Mr. Plattner, along with Google chat exchanges, texts, and Facebook messages between Ms. Feefield and her friends during and after the relationship. The Times also reviewed some of Ms. Feefield's diary entries from after the relationship had ended and spoke with two of her friends who confirmed that the pair had an emotionally volatile relationship but could not corroborate the physical altercations or most controversial comments she described. Ms. Feefield says she did not expect her friends to offer that corroboration because she did not tell anyone at the time, saying she had been embarrassed. The impact of the relationship on Ms. Feefield's life lingered for years, she said. She referred to him in a diary entry in June 2016 as the most toxic, literally abusive man on earth who destroyed my life. Those close to her encouraged her to move on. Do not call Graham, a friend messaged her that year. Ms. Feefield, who was affiliated with Independent Women, a conservative group, insisted that her political beliefs had nothing to do with her choice to come forward. She worked briefly on Nikki Haley's 2024 presidential campaign and before that for the Heritage Foundation, a conservative think tank. Ms. Feefield said she had not been paid by any campaign or political entity since Ms. Haley's campaign. Mr. Plattner's campaign said in a statement, let's be very clear, this is a lifelong GOP operative who's dedicated her career to electing Republicans. Ms. Feefield said she had no connection to the campaign of Senator Susan Collins, Mr. Plattner's likely Republican opponent. She acknowledged that independent women had been supportive of Ms. Collins, but said she had not been active with the organization recently. I know it looks like a bitter ex-girlfriend Republican trying to take down a Democrat. It has nothing to do with that, Ms. Feefield said. If he was running as a Republican, I would be doing this exact same thing. I am sorry. Look, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I don't think that she would actually come out against the Republican. I mean, here's the chair of the Independent Women's Forum, the right-wing group where Lindsay Feefield is a fellow, bragging about helping draft Susan Collins' remarks when she voted to confirm Brett Kavanaugh. Feefield is New York Times' main source and the only one alleging anything physical.
I will tell you, I'm extraordinarily proud of IWF. It's not well known, but after Jeff Flake got caught in the elevator, a moment I think none of us will ever forget, absolutely paralyzed by the activist asking him questions and not knowing what to say.
That took literally 3 seconds, by the way. That's incredible. Like, I disputed this purely on the basis that this is a Republican operative. I disputed it purely on the basis that she's a Republican operative. And in literally less than 3 seconds, we found a story of the institution that she's a part of that directly drafted the memo for Susan Collins when she had to explain why she voted for Brett Kavanaugh. That's crazy. It's the Heritage Foundation. By the way, I do also want to remind people that when Roy Moore was outed as a pedophile, the Republicans didn't turn around and go, oh, we should actually drop Roy Moore. What they did instead was look for a know-you opportunity. And lo and behold, who was in the crosshairs of that know-you projection opportunity? Al Franken. Al Franken was the guy that they chose to dump on. And who did they utilize to dump on Al Franken? A right-wing Republican Fox News radio host who claimed after the fact, many years after the fact, that Al Franken taking like a photo where he's like doing this over her sleeping body wearing a military vest when they went on tour was actually, very inappropriate. And Al Franken literally, alongside Kirsten Gillibrand and numerous other Democrats, was forced to resign. He literally apologized. He resigned. Democrats pushed for it to happen. You know what didn't happen? The Republicans advocating for Roy Moore to drop out of the race. Do you not believe six women? Did I say I don't believe any of these women? I did not say that. I think that there is a high bar for a Republican operative that has worked on campaigns defending other people being outed as rapists and then having female congresspersons, including Susan Collins, who's literally running against Graham Plattner. They've written notes on why it was justifiable to vote for why it was justifiable to appoint Brett Kavanaugh. Believe women means do not reflexively disbelieve women. I'm not disbelieving any of these women, but it doesn't also mean believe Republican operatives unconditionally across the board. If there are other women in this article, even like Republican voters, it doesn't matter. If they're Republican voters, it doesn't matter. But if they're like random people that he has dated in this article that corroborates some of the aspects of Ms. Feefield's sentiment, then I think there's reason to not be so skeptical of what she's saying.
We were approached and they said, can you tell us how to talk about supporting Kavanaugh without alienating the Me Too movement? We wrote a memo. It was used by a lot of members of the Senate and the House and Fox News and elsewhere. But most important is Susan Collins told me that without that memo, she could not have seen how to support him. And if you look at her speech that she gave on the Senate floor, it is entirely the playing out and architecture of how we said to structure the argument and what to say and how to say it, which is just so gratifying.
People are trying to discredit Lindsay Feefield for her history as a right-wing operative, but if she were a mere partisan hack, she could have been a lot more bombastic with her claims. Also, believe women doesn't end on a partisan borderline. No, I don't think so. I think the more bombastic claims would have probably met like actual legal scrutiny. And therefore, this is the perfect level because none of these claims are saying like, oh, I was like, she literally openly will say, oh, he never actually like physically hurt me. Right. There were times when things got a little physical and I was scared or I was conflicted. But she very openly will be like, he never hit me. He never hurt me. So it's actually very fair and balanced in that sense, which it doesn't reach the standard of like legal repercussions. Kara Lucas, the president of Independent Women, said Ms. Feefield had never been an employee and was last paid by the organization in 2022. The total amount she was paid, Ms. Lucas said, was roughly $15,000 over 2021 and 2022. Mr. Plattner's campaign arranged interviews for the Times with three other women who dated him over a period of 7 years and all support his candidacy. They described a very different kind of relationship. Caroline Lemp, who dated Mr. Plattner for several months in 2013, described him as a gentle giant. She said he never made her feel unsafe or showed signs that he was struggling with the physical or mental effects of his military service. He was a great boyfriend, said Ms. Lemp, 36, who now lives in St. Louis. He was super kind, very nice, fun. The others who spoke on the condition of anonymity said Mr. Plattner was never physically threatening. One, a nurse from Belfast, Maine, who dated him for a couple months after return home from Maine, described him as responsible, intelligent, and supportive. Another who dated him in Washington between 2011 and 2013 said she witnessed some potentially problematic behavior referring to his heavy drinking, but she felt really safe with him, she said. My totem cough. Last fall, a few months after announcing his campaign for Senate, Mr. Plattner said that he had learned from news media inquiries that the tattoo on his chest was widely recognized as a Nazi symbol, and he moved to cover it. Mr. Plattner said that he hadn't known what the image was, other than a terrifying-looking skull and crossbones on the wall of a tattoo parlor in Split, Croatia, where he and other Marines and his unit had it done in 2007. It was not until I started hearing from reporters and DC insiders that I realized what the tattoo is. Miss Feefield called that a lie. Mr. Plattner, she said, knew when they were dating years ago that the tattoo was a Nazi symbol, and he called it my Totemkopf. I would never have known what that was, she said. He would joke about it being a Nazi tattoo. Miss Feefield said she told her that he and the other members of his unit selected the tattoo because they were like a death unit. They were the killers, and saw a parallel between their unit and the Nazi Schutzstaffel, or SS unit, that used the skull and crossbones image. They literally deliberately selected it because it was relevant to their military unit, she said. Mr. Plattner strongly disputes Ms. Feefield's account of what he knew about the tattoo and what he told her, his campaign said. His campaign noted that he had not hidden his tattoo since receiving it, taking it off his shirt in photos at the beach and at the gym. I lived my entire life like a regular person with a skull and crossbones on their chest, he said on a liberal podcast in October after showing videos of him dancing shirtless at his brother's wedding. At no point in his entire experience of my life did anybody ever once say, hey, you're a Nazi. In a private chat group last summer, months before Mr. Plattner acknowledged the tattoo himself, Ms. Feefield told friends that her ex-boyfriend turned Senate candidate has a Nazi tattoo on his chest. It's a Totenkopf, she told him on August 20th, according to a screenshot she shared with the Times, an actual one. So there's no text messages corroborating that he knew, but there are text messages that she was sharing as a Republican operative with other friends of hers when he announced that he was running, but before he acknowledged the tattoo himself, a Republican operative told other people that this person actually had a Totemkopf on his chest. I will personally go campaign for cause, she wrote. Two of her friends reacted with a crying laughing emoji. The comment was a joke, Ms. Feefield told the Times. Records show no evidence of any relationship between Ms. Feefield and Collins' campaign. Throughout his campaign, Mr. Plattner has presented his life as a story of recovering and personal growth. He's described himself as self-medicating and drinking heavily and becoming very emotionally distant during his time in the military, which ended in 2012, he says, the years immediately afterwards. A relationship with a girlfriend while he was serving in the Marines totally fell apart because I was just a wreck of a human being, he said in an interview with the Times. Then in 2016, he returned to his small hometown, Sullivan, Maine, with therapy from the Department of Veterans Affairs. He got a treatment for PTSD, anxiety, and depression, began to build a new life. In 2018, he took over an oyster farm from a family friend. Still, he stayed active on Reddit, offering a glimpse into his unvarnished thinking in more than 1,400 messages between 2016 and 2021, when he says he stopped posting. Many of his online messages indicated that Mr. Plattner was still processing experiences in the military. Others focused on oyster farming and the joys of life in Maine. By 2021, he wrote he no longer believed in any of the patriotic nonsense that made him want to enlist and had become a firm believer that the best thing a person can do is help their neighbors and live a loving life. I'm a vegetable-growing, psychedelics-taking socialist these days, he wrote. Still got the guns, though. I don't trust the fascists to act politely. He has since said he abhors political violence. Again, this is, by the way, the most commonly shared perspective, by Second Amendment lovers. Second Amendment enjoyers, when they're Republican, get to say, why do we have the Second Amendment? Because we want to overthrow a tyrannical government if they ever choose to engage in tyranny. That is the exact same thing, but he's saying it while also claiming that he's a socialist, and therefore it's obviously objectionable, immoral, perhaps the most violent thing anyone could ever say. Remember that. Republicans will always say that they have the Second Amendment to protect the first. They believe in the Second Amendment because they will overthrow a violent fascist government, a violent tyrannical government, right? But his relationship with women have remained complicated. In November 2023, Mr. Plattner married Amy Gertner, former teacher from near his hometown. 1 year later, an anonymous Facebook user went on a private page called Are We Dating the Same Guy? And shared an image with Mr. Plattner, smiling broadly, sporting a t-shirt with a line, drawing of oysters. Ghosted me in the past, read the message, then popped up on a different dating app. I'm concerned he may have a significant other out there. Comments drew replies from at least six women, several of whom noted that he was married, according to screenshots posted by the Maine Wire, a conservative media outlet. Miss Rakicott, who was one of the other women who commented on the chain, confirmed that the post was real, as did the second woman who commented on it. Asked about the post in a follow-up interview in this spring, Ms. Rakicott, who said she agreed with many of Mr. Plattner's policies, said she had an off-and-on relationship with Mr. Plattner and had positive memories. But she was not shocked, she said, when she saw the incendiary comments he had made about women that have surfaced during the campaign. I was like, that makes sense. This person does not respect women. Ms. Rakicott also said that in 2021, he arrived at her house drunk. After she had asked him not to come over, she declined to elaborate, but says she cut off contact soon after the episode and found his behavior reckless and unsettling. Last week, the Wall Street Journal and Times detailed Ms. Gertner's efforts to warn his campaign staff about some potentially explosive information in the early days of his candidacy. Her husband, she said, had been exchanging sexual messages with multiple other women. Mr. Plattner sought to discredit aspects of the report, but acknowledged that Amy and I went through something hard because of me. And Ms. Gertner, who had become more visible presence in his campaign in recent weeks, posted a direct-the-camera video defending her husband and her marriage. No marriage is perfect, and I don't want a perfect marriage, she said. I want my marriage, and I want to be married to Graham. On Tuesday, Mr. Plattner was asked by Democratic senators, wait, this is the end of the article? That's it? There were a lot of chatters who I don't think read the article and simply claimed that there were some, like, there were corroborating information from other victims. Virtually every other victim, with the exception of one that said, I didn't like that he came to my house drunk, basically said he was fine. He was like a, maybe a little bit of a womanizer and said misogynistic things that correspond to some of his misogynistic statements. And the only damaging information in this article actually comes from the Republican operative. There's no sexual assault allegations. There's no, even the Republican operative is like, he never physically hurt me. There were times when he got physical, but he never physically, like, he never hit me. I want to specify that he never hit me. I'm confused. Did the chatters not read the article? You guys made it seem like he was engaging in rampant abuse, like rampant abusive behavior to, like, all of his girlfriends and all this shit. On Tuesday, Mr. Plattner was asked by Democratic senators in Washington private meetings if there was anything else controversial in his background. He assured them there was nothing, but he predicted his adversaries would lie about him, according to a person familiar with private discussions. On the campaign trail, Mr. Plattner had consistently worked to reassure voters who had been rattled by what they have read about his messy personal history. He has said he had not lived a very complicated life. I have a lot of ex-girlfriends, he told voters at a town hall in late April. They're all still my friends. This is what I've been saying. It's highly built in an explosive bombshell, and yet the big headline is that Graham is an unsettling behavior. It's not the wave of everything, but it isn't what the New York Times wants it to be. I bet chatters saw how above the fold this was and drew their own conclusions. Wait, why is that chatter saying I didn't read the whole article? Yeah, the parts that I skipped are the first couple of paragraphs that were just like introducing Graham Plattner, not like the actual meat of the article. It was just this. Rumors are spreading, and I briefly glanced it too. Yeah, amid the turmoil, Plattner worked the phones. Interview with the New York Times Wednesday, several women did just that, describing Mr. Plattner as a fun and caring partner and saying they felt safe with him. Some remain friends with him to this day, years after their relationships ended. Three other women who had been romantically involved with Mr. Plattner offered a far more complicated assessment, describing volatile. I started reading from this point on. Dismissing a woman because she's Republican is nasty. This is not. Did you guys not hear what I said? There are. If this was a regular, like, Republican voter, which I said, that had a bad relationship with Graham Plattner and revealed it, I would not make the same exact assessment. This is not just a random Republican. This is a Republican operative who has worked for a foundation that not only has taken away women's rights, but also a foundation that has specifically been involved in writing messages for Susan Collins and every other Republican that would allow them to do PR for people voting for Brett Kavanaugh, who was once again, and I need you to understand this, responsible for lying to the American public and continuing to take away abortion rights, which Brett Kavanaugh and every other Republican that was appointed in that same time frame said was a super precedent. This is one of the dirtiest smear jobs I've ever seen, completely unsubstantiated claims from a clearly biased person with zero, and I mean zero, corroborating details. Does the chat believe that Joe Biden's a rapist? He was directly accused of sexual assault, and that was not published in the New York Times. This is crazy to see the New York Times or Washington Post. This is a weird and out of the usual level of proof required for an article like this. Yeah, I think glazing over, showing up drunk to someone's house is a little sus, but that's my only problem. This has the potential to be a very terrifying experience for a woman. No, I agree with that assessment. I think that is the, outside of the claims being made by Fifi Field, which, for the record, are you know, definitely emotionally abusive over a long and extended period of time, that Graham Plattner says was a time when he was, like, drinking heavily, self-medicating, things of that nature. The only other instance that you can potentially point to as corroborating is that he showed up drunk to someone's house, which led to her breaking up with him. And that's it. And that, bro, that was a different woman? No, that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm saying that that could be seen as corroborative of him behaving in a manner that is consistent with someone who doesn't care about the feelings of their partner, their female partner. Tell me what this article claims any of the other five women are claiming. The smooth brain idball chatters here are saying all six are being ignored. What are the consequences here are being claimed by anyone other than the operative? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The other people just said he was misogynistic, or rather said that he, when they saw his Reddit post being unearthed, it reminded them, they said that it was like consistent with his worldview. Yeah, like they interviewed six of his former partners. One was the Republican operative. The other one wasn't. The other one said that there was one instance where he showed up at her house drunk when she said, don't come over. That's f***ed up. I agree. No defense of that whatsoever. And no defense of any of the other claims that the Republican operative is making either. But they interviewed six women, and the other four all said that he was a gentle giant. It was a complex relationship, but ultimately they still remain friends. Why is being misogynistic not disqualifying? Do you live in the same planet that we live in where, like, are you familiar with the American Congress? Or do you come from a matriarchal society where the matriarch runs the show and you just actually landed on U.S. soil? By the standards set forth by the average American congressperson, we just looked at a Republican that boiled his wife. A Republican congressperson from Ohio torched his wife with boiling water and then tried to sue her for defamation and then had to drop it because it came out that there was an audio note where he openly admitted to it and also a written note where he apologized for it. The president is Donald Trump. Donald grab him by the pussy, Trump. The president has been in a civil trial found liable for sexually assaulting E. Jean Carroll. As far as like a PTSD-addled veteran goes, or as far as like the standards set forth by the average Republican or average Democrat congressman, right? Or even congressperson, really. I want to put Katie Porter on the on stage as well. Katie Porter also abused her husband, ironically enough. Graham Platner he's not even up there in terms of like what Republican and Democrat congresspersons have done. Senator Whitehouse says he's not impressed by the allegations against Graham Platner. Seems like a lot of nothing. I mean, the only one who had anything to say seemed unsettling was a woman who works for right-wing political operations. Now, every goddamn Republican on the planet is going to be like, oh, Democrats love rape. This story is going to turn into, just like with the New York Post, right? By all the fucking psychos, the story will literally turn into Graham Platner actually sexually assaulted all of his girlfriends. They're all actually demanding that he be jailed, and the Democrats are defending him. And some of you chatters will go along with it because you already didn't like him because he was a Blackwater mercenary. So then you're also going to advance it. See? Boom. Democrats have a Me Too problem. Dude, I'm going to be honest. I think American politics will never advance in a positive trajectory as long as liberals personally step on rakes and keep slamming their heads into the fucking concrete, directed by the most cynical, disgusting, amoral, vulturous Republicans you've ever encountered. They could literally be murdering children in broad daylight. They could be choking children and then turn around and go, well, this Democrat actually talks shit about a child. How do you think child abuse is appropriate? While in the process of choking out a baby, a Republican operative could turn around and go, well, that Democrat actually said kids have bad vibes. You like child abuse. Let me murder this child first. You like child abuse. And every liberal that thinks that there is like any moral equivocation here will turn around and go, you know what? Republican operative that's murdering a child right now in front of me, choking the child to death, maybe even putting their thumbs in the child's eyes. You're actually right. That guy is the villain. And in order to maintain some kind of moral purity, in order to maintain some kind of parity here so that everybody understands I'm the most I'm the most intellectually honest person of all time. I'm going to actually fucking disavow the Democrat that actually said children have bad vibes as the highest version of child abuse. And then people will turn around and say, guess what, sweetie? Two things can be wrong at the same time. No, these two things are not on the same stratosphere. They presented this bombshell story as Graham Plattner is sexually assaulting all of his ex-girlfriends. And then the most the New York Times wrote about this was that a Republican operative that worked for a Republican operative that worked for the Heritage Foundation claimed that she was scared of him at times. And then the other girlfriends of his said that his misogynistic sentiment on Reddit corresponds to his personality. Meanwhile, Democrats brought Bill Jeffrey Epstein's best friend Clinton on the campaign trail, and those very same Democrats that did that because they thought he was an impossible to ignore titan in American politics, so they trotted his ass over to Dearborn, Michigan. Those same Democrats and their operatives are turning around and being like, Graham Plattner, oh my God, I can't believe it. Oh, I don't even care necessarily about Graham Plattner all that much. I do worry that this tendency of liberals and leftists to fall into Republican-led traps with the hopes of maintaining some sort of moral purity or impossible standard, not on this issue, because then people will abuse my words and turn around and say, oh, you're saying that it's an impossible standard not to be an abusive psychopath or whatever the fuck. That's not what I'm saying. But broadly speaking, it's very frustrating that there is a tendency among liberals and leftists alike to consistently play into Republican traps. You have to stop doing this. Look at the issue. Look at the actual claims being made. Apply scrutiny if necessary. And move on. Dude, they were talking about this as like the biggest oppo dump of all time. That this is an Eric Swalwell style situation. It's going to be a nothing burger if even when Senator Whitehouse is defending Plattner, but they won't stop the Republicans from crying like babies. Just ask about the Epstein files every time they bring something up. For the record, I'm seeing Reddit neolibs defend Plattner here. Let's see what he says on MS Now later with Chris Hayes. Yeah, here's more background on this person. Yeah, she made all of her social media accounts private, but here she is blatantly lying about why Rameza Öztürk was targeted by Rubio's State Department. Mahmoud Khalil and Rameza Öztürk were not targeted for advocacy against Israel. They are being held accountable for destruction of property, organizing violent actions, making threats to Jewish students, and distributing materials funded by state-designated terror groups. You'll be surprised to learn you can't promote terrorism and death to America while you're here on a student visa or a green card. Let's see an update. This 3-year-old American girl will be spending Thanksgiving in the hands of dangerous Hamas terrorists, McCain wrote. She's the youngest American held hostage in Gaza. I have a daughter nearly the same age as this American citizen. It's hard to fathom my Alice could be kidnapped by terrorists and held for over a month and not be a household name, wrote Lindsay Feefield, a visiting fellow at the Independent Women's Forum. We will make a place for Abigail on Thanksgiving, and everyone should. Washington, D.C., on the solemn one-year anniversary of the devastating October 7th attacks on Israeli women and girls by Hamas terrorists, Independent Women's Forum, Center for American Safety and Security, is renewing its call for the Biden-Harris administration to take, this is where she worked, to take stronger, clearer action in addressing the surge in violence against women and girls. The Muslim American Leadership Alliance joined IWF in issuing a demand letter. Gillibrand's spokesperson said her comments were, we are still going to win Maine. It's over. It's done. Kirsten Gillibrand was the person responsible for the Al Franken knife job from the Democratic Party side. It's okay. You're going to get, it's done. It's over. You're going to get naysayers from John Fetterman, possibly. John Fetterman, top Plattner critic, told me it's time for Maine voters to get behind Janet Mills. I need you to be extra critical going forward of people that are viewed as a threat by the forces of capital and also Israel. If you don't do that going forward, if you fall victim to Republican engineering, we will never build a coalition at all, ever. It's not going to happen. It will never take place. It's over. It's done. I'll tell you a story. Story of Kareem Khan. Kareem Khan is a British lawyer who has served as a prosecutor for the International Criminal Court since 2021. You might recognize him as this handsome bald man. Kareem Khan was hand-selected as an appropriate prosecutor to the ICC by those who are sympathetic to Israel. But Kareem Khan had a problem. There was far too much evidence that Israel was engaging in war crimes. So Kareem Khan, as a prosecutor, started doing his job. Shortly thereafter, Kareem Khan had sexual assault allegations. Like, almost when he first came in to the job, Israel was like, yeah, this is a good guy. We're fine with him. Far better than the previous prosecutor that we spied on, that we sanctioned, that we got America to sanction. As soon as he moved to prosecute Israel, sexual abuse claims. I'm sorry, but at a certain point, you have to be a little bit more careful with what you are listening to, what you're believing. There's a difference between a drunk asshole from a rich family or something and the chief prosecutor of the International Criminal Court, or one of the prosecutors of the ICC. ICC Chief Prosecutor Khan cleared of sexual misconduct by judges. Something similar took place with Julian Assange. Julian Assange rape investigation dropped by Sweden. Julian Assange was the famous journalist that was responsible for WikiLeaks, where a lot of things that the American State Department did not want anybody seeing was published. The American State Department, the CIA, and its officers openly talked about murdering Julian Assange, talked about how they would potentially murder Julian Assange as he was in exile, right? He was in his embassy in Ecuador. He was in political asylum. Sometimes you have to look beyond the claims being made and try to understand who's making the claims and why they're making it. And sometimes you have to judge people's reception of these claims by where their ideological priors fall. That's why I kept repeatedly bringing up the fact that if Graham Plattner, and people are going to call me a misogynist for this too, so just wait. Ironically enough, people who have defended rape, pedophilia, and numerous other horrible things are going to turn around and say, oh, Assange is defending Graham Plattner. He's a dude bro misogynist. So just get ready for that. That's going to happen. You have to be a little bit more critical. In any case, as far as Graham Plattner goes, yeah, he's not the best guy. Okay, he's not a good guy. As long as he's a reliable vote for Medicare for All and a reliable vote against Israel, that's the calculation that Mainers are making, I hope, because he will still serve a far better purpose than Susan Collins. I'm reminded of Bernard Sanders' statements. He's not a saint, but I don't see many of those around here. And Bernard is right. Speaking of Bernard, many of you probably don't remember, but he wrote some pervy poems back in the day. If you think I gave a fuck about that shit and leaned into the idea that he was a misogynist for writing pervy poems in his youth, you'd be delusional. Except because I was like, who gives a fuck about some pervy poems that he wrote in like 1913? Are you insane? Everybody said Bernie bros are misogynistic. And it's crazy because he was being freaky unk. He was being freaky unk. Freaky.
And pussy too.
But people forgot 2016. They forgot 2020. They have not built the backbone necessary to do this work. Some of you are too young and you had your socialist awakening in the last couple of years. So you didn't see what an ultimately hostile media environment will do to someone that they deem the opposition. You haven't been around the block yet. No one is perfect. We're all human beings. We're all imperfect. We're all on our own journey. We do bad things. We do good things. As long as you try to be the best version of yourself every day, that's what matters. Jesus Christ, focus on the issues. This is why the CIA does not need, the FBI does not need to do COINTELPRO. They don't need it. First FBI leak on Martin Luther King, and half of this chat would have been like, excuse me? Excuse me? Again, not a comparison between Graham Plattner and MLK. Before you get on me on that, not a comparison between Bernie Sanders and MLK. What I'm talking about specifically is about the tendency of a lot of people on the left and liberals to immediately fall for the oppositional framing coming from unbelievably reactionary neo-Nazis. Fascists will run circles around you every single time. Every single time. That's it. These people are villains for a reason.